All right. My Father's business. Jesus made a statement in Luke 2, 45 through 50. So when they did not find him, talking about his parents, Mary and Joseph, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And in those days, the whole clan traveled. It was like everybody going on vacation somewhere, and they all gathered together. So they assumed that the young boy, Jesus, was with another family member. And if you back up, you see that. They assumed that he had been with somebody else. Now, it was that after 3 days, they found him. And I would imagine that was a pretty frantic search. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers. He was both listening to them, and he was asking them questions. Verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understandings and answers. There's a show that's out that shows the young boy Jesus saying, the Lord is a carpenter, huh? And he said, the Lord's always been a carpenter. He helped Noah build the boat, and he went on with these answers. And even in the show, it shows that how the old people that sometimes can get very narrow, nearsighted. They can't see the broad picture, right? They focus. It gets smaller and smaller. And the young boy had answers, and they were amazed at this. Verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding, his answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. It's really weird how they said that. You would have thought that they would have, grabbed him by his ear and said, what has gotten into you? But they said, we sought you anxiously, right? Either way, you can imagine the terror if you can imagine losing somebody that's that close to you, turn around and they were right there. Verse 49, and he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. So when he made this statement, and we hear it, and we kind of put together something in our minds, and I think that I don't want to take away, there's several points in this lesson where it would seem like that I'm taking away from the broader picture, but there is a broader picture of what happened when you look at the life of Jesus and all that he accomplished and paying for the sin debt of the world, bringing together the 12 apostles and all these things. But Jesus, he still had to bring all this together. And he still had himself that he had to answer for. We take that away. Jesus wasn't given a free pass because he was the Son of God. And we can explain that by the simple fact that he died on the cross. He wasn't given a free pass, right? He was expected to do what was asked of him and what he had told the Father. We see the conversations that there was a plan laid out before the foundations of the world. So this was required of him. So even in the broader picture that we see Jesus, there was even a more personal picture for him. But when you say, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? In Mark 6:3, Jesus is referred to as the carpenter. And so Jesus in his life, now he was a boy here, but later on he grew up and he actually did his father's business, Joseph's business, the carpentry. And so we look at Jesus when he said, I must be about my Father's business. There was two trains of thought here, okay? He had his earthly father. He had carpentry, which he was a boy here because his parents were looking for him. Had he been, 30 years old, they wouldn't have been like this, right? So as a boy, they were looking for him, and he said, I must be about my father's business. There's two schools of thought. Is it either the physical work that he would do as a carpenter, and then the broader picture that he did when he went to the cross doing his father's business there. 1 John 2:15 says through 17 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, Jesus said, as a boy, I must be about my Father's business. And in the context of this statement, his Father's business was learning, teaching in the temple. Okay, it was professing the Word of God, learning from the Word of God. Yet we also see that he got indebted to the world to some degree, because he took time away from his studies, took time away from his communion, his prayer, all of these things, to learn the skill of carpentry. So when the Bible says, do not love the world or the things of this world, don't think for a minute that God doesn't expect us that we have to participate in the world to some degree. Jesus did that, okay? So we have jobs, and there's times in our life, and we don't have to wait till we retire to do this, there's times in our life, we don't have to wait till all of our debt is paid off. We don't have to wait till we accomplish certain tasks before we allow God to move in our life. And Jesus understood this as a young boy, that he had an obligation to the Father first, and then he had a life to live. And when that life to live got in the way of the Father, there was a change that took place. But the school of thought was, when I was about my Father's business, he learned both. Okay? He learned both. Carpentry wasn't an evil skill. It wasn't an evil profession. So when he talks about this, you would look at this and you'd think, you know, I don't put this in here. And when it talks about the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, you know, we always go, when it talks about lust, we always think about sexual. But lust is a prison cell. Lust is something that we have to have. People lust after money. They lust after success. They lust after recognition, you know, their reputation. Oh, they tirelessly work for the Lord, and they're so great, right? These are people that are doing all these things, and these aren't evil things. Jesus wasn't an evil carpenter. It's not evil to want to be recognized by your brethren, to be a strong Christian, someone that you could support. But there's lust that gets involved in lots of aspects of our life that lead us away from doing the Father's business. And like I said, we hear the word lust and we just simply think sexual. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, gratification. She's talking about so much more than that, because that's an easy fix, right? You spend your time thinking that because, you know, I don't run around with this kind of man or this kind of woman, you know, that we don't do these sort of things, that we're okay and we're not bondaging ourselves to the world. But lust of many things puts us in a prison cell. You know, neither is being on Facebook, TikTok, or games on our phones. They're not evil either, right? I remember when my wife and I first got our first smartphones. I don't even know if they were smart or not, but it was our first big screen phone. It was an HTC. And gosh, it was so long ago. We were just so amazed at the big screen as opposed to that little tiny screen on the flip phone. Y'all remember those? They were so small that, you know, now with our old eyes, we wouldn't be able to see them. No wonder they made them bigger, right? Or they would lose a big market share, right? But they had this big screen. And I found that phone years ago. The screen wasn't that big, not compared to the phones today. I showed it to my wife. We both remembered that, laughed, threw it away. We held on to it because that's just what you did. You didn't know what to do with them. We had many phones. But anyway, I remember when we first got Facebook, and we were both on it, and we were sitting there, and some time had passed, maybe 3 months, 2 months, I don't know. And then my wife, she raised up, and I probably wouldn't have never noticed, because men are just like this. They're content. They get content kind of easy. And she says, it's just me, or we don't ever get anything done anymore, because she remembers something we had to do, right, because she's constantly wanting somebody to do something, either her or me, right? That's what drives her. And so we didn't go by the doctor's office. Is it just me or we don't ever get anything done? You know what we realized we were doing? Sitting around on the phone all day long. We'd work, we'd cook, we'd clean up, and then instead of sitting there watching TV, we'd probably have the TV on, we had ourselves on social media. And we realized, see, that's not evil either. But see, it puts our mind in bondage. Do you understand what this is doing? It's putting our mind in bondage because all we think about when we have a break at work is we grab our phone and we go to where we're in bondage. You see, I think it's this one, yeah. One game leads to another. If you ever, I grew up in the age where Atari started and ColecoVision and Commodore 64 and all this stuff, and they brought these games out, and they were fantastic because they were games you could play at home and you didn't have to go to the arcade. And you didn't have to, your imagination came alive on the screen and it captivated you. But one of the things about the games is there's a progression, and they think that you make it to this room and then you see a door and you wonder, what's behind that door, right? And one game leads to another. One social media post leads to another. See, these things never gratify us. That's how we know we're in bondage, because we never escape them, right? And I'm not busting Facebook or TikTok or what I'm trying to say is that we're given a warning here. And we think that just because it talks about the lust of the flesh and pride of life, that it's talking about sexual situations and that's all it's talking about. But Jesus could have let the fact that he was a carpenter and becoming a successful carpenter and running a carpenter empire could have let that take away from the Word of God. But he didn't do that. And we sometimes allow ourselves to be caught up in the things of this world. And when you think, I'm not done that, well, you think about it. How hard is it to turn off the TV? How hard is it to put down the phone? How hard is it to turn away from all of these things, put your mind away from these things, and pray? Because that next level's waiting. That next post is waiting. The next video is waiting. And somebody liked what you said, and then other people started liking it, and it starts to become an obsession that you have pull over all these people, and they notice you, and it's exciting, it's exhilarating, and it captures your mind. And God says, beware of these things, because you never get free of them. You never finish a game and say, oh my gosh, that was so satisfying. And as a child, I played role-playing games on the computer as a kid growing up, and there were some really good ones out there. But when I got done with them, and I was like, wow. Like Final Fantasy, when it first came out, it was amazing. It was huge. It was bigger than anyone. And when you got finished with it, you didn't say, that was so great, I'll never play another one. Nope. You know what you waited for? Final Fantasy II. See, you never got away from it. It never escaped it. And that's how you know that these things put you in a prison. Your mind in a prison. Because you're not in a prison. You're walking around, right? You're doing this when you're out to eat. You're doing this when you're over at your friend's house. You can choose to go to a movie and sit. You can choose to go anywhere so you don't feel like you're in a prison. But you are. Because your constant lure, your lust, is for what's next. It never lets you go. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being on social media. And somebody would say, oh, we don't want to listen to this guy. He's one of those gloom and doomers. The world's coming to an end because of TikTok. No, but what I'm saying is that be careful, because once you let your kid taste a Dr. Pepper or a Coke or sweet tea, yeah, they don't want water anymore. They don't want milk anymore. So you be careful. Oh, it was cute, right? Oh, it's funny. Look at it. They're just sucking it down. It's all fun. It's not fun and games. Because now, look what you've done. They don't want anything in moderation. A child is what our minds are like. Gosh, we'll just soak it up. Give me more and more. Yeah, it's obsessive. It could be obsessive. Romans 12, 1 through 2, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We can do that, right? Walking into the church. Hey, everybody. Go back to the bathroom, right? Come back out. Hey, we're sitting there in the pew and our phone goes off. And amen, right? Presenting ourselves a living sacrifice while going down the road of the lust and the chains and the corruption in the prison cells of the world. And we're walking through offering up our bodies as a living sacrifice. He says it's our reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How do we do that? By the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You see, when we walk down this road of life and we're trying to put our minds on God, it's never really there. It's always somewhere else. Jesus said, now wait a minute, you were looking for me. How did you not know that I wouldn't be about the Word of God? How did you not know that? I mean, have I been living by... You know why they didn't know that? It's because that's not where their mind was. They weren't trying to think, where would Jesus be? Right? That's what we try to say now. What would Jesus do? They didn't say, well, where would Jesus be? They looked all over the place. They probably went to all the places that young boys would have went to. And they stumbled upon the temple. They might have even went in there to ask for prayer to find their boy. They might have went in there to ask the wisdom of God to find their boy, and there he was. Our minds need to be transformed. Otherwise, they'll be conformed to this world. And what that means, conformed to this world, is that we'll be locked and focused on this world. And if we're locked and focused on this world, we can't see anything else. It's called tunnel vision. How are we going to put our minds and transform our minds to start thinking about God in a different way when we're just eat up with this world and everything about it? Now, you can pick your poison, right? You can look at me and say, well, I don't do that, and I don't do this, and I don't want any phone, and I don't want any internet, and I don't want any games. I don't play games on my phone. That's not the point. The point is that he told us, beware of the prisons that exist. Beware of the lusts that pull you in and take your mind back to the mindset of the world instead of your mind being transformed. And you know what a transformed mind does? That's where Jesus was. He was learning and teaching and growing, but his parents said they didn't understand what he just said. You know why? The mindset, when they freaked out, it was in the world, it was all the worst things that could happen, this and that, their minds weren't thinking like God. They weren't thinking like Jesus. Even the boy Jesus was thinking about following God and about Scripture. You see, the context around this statement is the wisdom of God. If you read a little bit before and you read a little bit after to try to get the context. Larry did that this morning doing communion. And he went all the way, he's talking about Hebrews 9 or 10. And he went all the way back to chapter 3 to show some things. So you've got to get the context. And sometimes you've got to read a little bit more to get context. It's easy to take one verse and say that it make a whole religion around it. Enough people have done that. See, the context around this statement is the wisdom of God and how you once lived, meaning once we start to understand, we start to change how we see and do things. We literally think differently about our life, about what we're going to put our hands to, about where our minds are going to go, and about what we're going to spend our time doing. Right? The renewing of our mind. If we become a Christian and we still think the same way, but the difference is now we think God is on our side to accomplish our thoughts, we've not grown. We've not grown at all. Because all we've done is added power to our delusion that God is here for us. No. He said transform your minds. He didn't say he's going to transform his minds to think like you. He wants you to transform your minds to think, our lowly minds, as he said, to think like him. 2 Timothy 2:20 through 26, he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Now, I want us to understand that in the Bible, it talks about the house of Moses and it talks about the house of the law, talks about the house of Abraham. It talks about the two children of Abraham. I understand the bigger picture here. But when he's talking about our house, I want to bring it down to a more personal level. You see, there's things in our life that are vessels of gold and silver. God says that our family is one of those things. Right? They should be important to us. They should be more important than other things in our life. And then there's things in our life that we have that we could let go. They may not be easy to let go, but they don't really mean anything. They shouldn't. So when we read this, I want us to bring us down to a more personal level. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for honor, and some are for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, see, he brings it from a house down to a person, right? This is why I'm saying that even though there's a bigger picture, I understand that. But in all things, God is going to require you to answer for yourself. You can't say that I was just a part of a greater house. So I want to take it to a personal level. Excuse me. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful to the master, prepared for every good work. That is, that we are presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. Verse 22, how we do that? We flee also from youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, and love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. When you avoid ignorant disputes, you know how you can do that? When somebody says foolishness, you want to prove them wrong. You know they're wrong. You just say, yep, you're right. Shuts them right down. You just move on, right? There's no argument. They're not listening. You can't get anywhere with them. Why are you going to argue with them? Why? Because there's this need that you've got to be right. You've got to prove yourself right, right? Yeah, yeah, you're right there. Everything's crazy. You just move on. Shuts them right down. Verse 24, but a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach. There's a time that we can teach. When you're working and running a jackhammer and you're trying to tell somebody the great mysteries of God, that's not the time. I mean, you're trying to teach, right? It's God's Word. I mean, there's a time to teach, right? Able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, right? That's what I was trying to get us to see. All this was to show is that it's the truth that shows these things. It's the truth that says, I am presenting myself as a living sacrifice. You know what? I am focused on everything but God's Word. God's Word is something as an afterthought that I squeeze in at the last moment. But all of that is I wanted us to see verse 26. Because remember, I've talked about captivity. I've talked about jail cells and chains. And he says that they may come to their senses. This is what the truth is all these things that I've been mentioning. You know, the TikTok, the Facebook, our lusts for power and money and acceptance and preeminence and all of these things. Whatever it is that our hearts and our minds lust after, it will come to our senses and we'll escape the snare. They've been traps. They've been traps. God's not using you through these things. Satan is. Because he's captivated your mind that this is what is important and you get lulled through life. Wow, I'm doing so great. I'm helping so many people. Wow, I'm reaching out on Facebook and I post things about God and oh, I do this I may want and do the wrong thing, but I give a lot to make up for this. And we're fooling ourselves. These are snares by the devil. They're traps because they've captivated our minds and put them in prisons. And the truth helps us escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to do his will. The truth that helps us see is the renewing of our minds. Because we don't think, we realize, you know what, this isn't doing anything. I didn't really put it together. I thought that I wasn't doing anything bad. I'm just watching football out here playing my game, right? Next thing you know, it's time to eat, and another game's coming on, and you're sitting there. Next thing you know, you go to bed, and you've given no more thought about God. But what have you done? You come to church. You know, you fulfilled the obligation of being around this table. You fulfilled the obligation of giving your tithes. You fulfilled the obligation that you did. And no matter how late you stayed up and whatever you did Saturday night, you're going to deal with it Sunday morning and you're going to church. You're not going to use that as an excuse. Woo, I've done that. Now, it's football and tacos and TikTok. And I love TikTok, right? I'm on it a lot. I there's good and there's bad out there. I'm not on Facebook. But anyway, I was, but I'm not anymore. But anyway, so I'm just saying, there's things that captivate our mind. If we're not careful, we get carried away. Why? Because it's a trap. You know what a trap is? It's something that you don't see. Right? It's something, what was, oh. See, it's something you don't see. You didn't see it coming, did you? Yeah, no. Yeah. I will probably do that one day, because I stumble a little bit up here. But anyway, a trap is something that you don't see. You didn't see that coming, right? You didn't see me doing that. People don't see it coming. It's a trap. So don't think that just because you realize that you've put all this time in there, you're like, oh my gosh, what do I do? You know what the Bible says in Acts? They were cut to the heart. You know why? Because they saw the truth. Like, well, what am I going to do with my life if I've done all this? See, there's two ways our mind can go. We can stay in the world or to the things of God. And I got to ask you, I like TV. I like scary movies of all things. When we watch TV, even some of the best shows that were out there, man. Friends, funny show, awesome show. Big Bang Theory, right? Awesome show, funny. All the characters work well together. Yeah, they were all, man, boys and girls living together, sleeping together, and laughing about it, and sexual conquests, and yeah, it's real funny stuff. It is when you think about it, how God sees what's going on. Now, you know, I've watched all the Friends episodes. I haven't finished watching all the Big Bang Theory episodes. I like these shows, but we have to be honest, this world is not teaching us about God. And so if we commit our hearts and our minds and all this stuff to this world, we're going to be lulled back to sleep by the devil. And we're going to fall back into that prison that God has set us free from. He's vicious, right? He's vicious. He has no morals, and he will cut you to pieces. And he'll do it in the meanest way that you can imagine. And so what I want us to see is the minds, there's two ways our mind can go. It can stay chained to this world or become unchained. And so with that being said, I want us to look at a scripture that we probably wouldn't have put here, but we can. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. And then I saw an angel coming down from heaven and having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. He cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So I understand that there's a big picture here, right? And I also want to point out that there's nothing more deceptive in this world than having over 500 denominations that teach a different Jesus, right? How would you ever find anything? There's no more deceptive than any. There could be very little more deceptive than that, than when you take the truth and you water it down so much and you offer it in so many different ways to people to soothe their conscience, right? I understand there's a big picture here. But Jesus chained Satan by the gospel. That was the chain that was wrapped around his neck. That's what chained him, because it was the truth that set people free, that opened their eyes. And the gospel message did that. So I won't take away from the big picture that's here. But I want us to understand that personally, each person is going to answer. Satan answered for what he did. He was cast into the lake of fire. Then those who followed him. Each one of us will stand before God and give an account. And I want us to see, we chain our minds to this world. But by doing that, we start giving the devil just a little bit more slack, right? It's like that vicious dog. And you can see where his chain stops, because he's wore the grass away, because he wants to get whatever's right there, but he can't get it, and he wants it so much, and he won't give up. He's done wore the grass away. So, you know, you can teach. But when that dog gets a little bit more chain, he's going to come further and further, and he's never going to stop. Remember, offer up our bodies. It's renewing our minds. Scripture is very personal. That doesn't take away from the big picture that it's talking about here. But is Satan chained in our life? Right? If Satan is chained in our life, why are we held in a prison that he created? If he's chained in our life, how come he is able to go and keep our minds away from the things of God and hold us captive to do his will? How come? Because we let him. Scripture told us that we offer up our bodies. It's time for us to renew our minds. I don't renew your mind. You renew your mind. You do that by reading Scripture and let the Holy Spirit renew your mind. You see things the way God does. I can only teach but so much. You can sit here and listen and you can say, oh my gosh, I see it. Then you could go outside and when you sit down to watch your football game or your Hallmark Christmas movie, guess what happens? You forget all about what you saw here because you're watching something that's so entertaining, right? And I like Hallmark Christmas movies. I only like one kind though. I like the ones where they're given a second chance, right? Where they think their life is so terrible and then the Christmas angel shows up and gives them the life they thought they wanted, and they cry to go back to the other one, right? I've been given a second chance, and I like to see when people are given a second chance. God had no reason to give me a second chance, but he did. He was patient with me. See, the further we get from Scripture, the more chain we give to Satan to run in our lives until it's almost as if he's not chained at all. And all we have to do to allow that to happen, right? You have your Facebook, you got your TikTok, you got your games, you got your TV shows, you got your footballs, you got your times with your friends, you got all these things. But you also have to have time for the Word of God. And I'm not just talking about reading a verse before you go to bed. You're like, oh, let me meditate on that before I go to bed. Right? I'm talking about have time for God. And what you'll find out is that when you make time for God, it renews your mind and you start seeing the things that you were doing, and the Bible says they start to grow dim, right? They start to grow dim. This is more exciting. It brings you much more pleasure. But it's so hard. It's so hard. It's like getting up at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning when you don't have to get up at 5 o'clock. I'm not going to do that, but I should. And I'm saying spiritually. What I'm saying is that I have to make myself do things that my body doesn't really want to do because I have to let the Holy Spirit take more control. I have to let Him have control. And how I do that is to stay in the Word of God. The further I get away from that Word, the more chained do I give to Satan. See, there's no place. Once he's unchained, there's no place he can't reach. He can reach our minds. See, because he's not chained at our feet anymore. Remember the Bible says that we'll crush his head, right? Bruise the Savior's heel, right? He'll be crushed at your feet slowly. Remember the promise that at due time God will crush Satan at your feet, right? If we let him be unchained in our life, there's no place he can't reach. He can reach our minds. He can reach our hearts. He can reach our hands. He can reach our money. And he can reach our children. You think you're helping your kids. We thought we were helping our kids. But then every time when we grow up, we grow older and we look, we realize we should have known better, right? You don't put a fire out by feeding the fire. You stop. Let them build the fire, right? But Satan tricks us. He gets control of our minds, our hands, our money. And then he gets the one thing that we would sacrifice almost everything for, even usually church and reasonable thought. Our kids. He gets them. Right? Because what we've showed them is what? Hey, yeah. That was great. Yeah. Oh, pitcher. Yeah, pitcher. Okay. Yep. Our minds aren't even where we're at anymore. Look what Satan is doing to us. The Bible says renew our minds. How long do you think Jesus would have endured had he not truly been about his Father's business? You know, we can argue the fact that Jesus could have failed. And if you say that he couldn't, I have an issue with that because that takes away his choice. That means he could have done anything he wanted, but God would have said, come on, boy, I got to clean this up. Next time you listen to me, what do you think? Yeah, all right, Dad, whatever. Nope, you have somebody clean up your mess all the time. You will never, ever learn. That's not what God did for Jesus. He gave him a choice. But I'm not here to argue that point. But if Jesus hadn't been about his Father's business, how long would he have endured? If he would have been about the carpentry, if he would have been about, wow, you know, I've seen people make chairs, but I've never seen anybody do anything like this. Wow, you know, I've seen people serve God, but I've never seen somebody serve God with such fervor that you do. You know, I've seen faithful people, but I've never seen anybody as faithful as you. I want to be like, right? Jesus could have let all the things that they said about him that were true, right? Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. And how they praised him. And he didn't let any of that go to his head because he was about his Father's business, not his own. Anyway, to sum it up, you can't live in the world and vacation at the church. Right? You can't do that. And I think that's, in our minds, that's what we do. We're in church, we're around this table, we're doing all this stuff, we're okay. But this is just a little vacation time. Right? 1 week out of the year, right? The year being synonymous with the week. And we come to church and we get our God points in, and then we do our other stuff, and then we come back to church and we just kind of vacation here. We just stop by and, you know, we think, wow, it would really be nice to be loved by God and to do all the things that God wants us to do, because we're just vacationing. Your mindset on vacation is totally different than you get back to the world and you think, I'm not going to do any of that stuff. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached that gospel message. And the reason that he preached it is because he believed in it and he wanted to show it to the Jews, and he showed it with fervor and affection, and he showed it with commitment and with passion, and he showed it with sacrifice. And he did sacrifice. And so if any of us wishes to be a child of God, understand that we're not just going to make Jesus a part of our life. We've got to become a part of his. And we can look in the church and, you know, we can point a lot of fingers, but that's not going to do any good, because if we're going to point fingers, we also understand that everybody can point at me as well as I can point at you, and that doesn't solve anything. Okay? We have to renew our minds and think above this. This place is the only hope we have. It is the only hope that we have. And if you're willing to bring me down because I don't fit your mold, I can assure you that God is not with that mindset. Jesus was about his Father's business. We have to be about our Father's business. You say, well, Jesus is my God, and he is, right? But how did Jesus pray? And how did he ask us and show us as an example of how to pray? Our Father who is in heaven. You see, he's showing us that we should be about our Father's business. It should be that personal to us. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?